This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture with me, Juliet Jacobs and Lim Soo Ann and Dashran Johan. So two stories for you today. In our first one, in conjunction with Genetic Counselor Awareness Day, which was yesterday, we're going to shine a spotlight on the role of genetic counseling in the management and care of genetic diseases.
And for our second story, well, it's Deepavali tomorrow and though celebrations will be different this year, we want to remember the significance of this Festival of Lights and discuss the history and legends associated with Deepavali.
Yes, and on that note, we want to know, how are you adjusting to the so-called new normal, right? How are you planning to celebrate Deepavali? What is your favorite Deepavali memory? Let us know by tweeting at us at BFM Radio. We actually have a tweet on our page, so you can drop a comment underneath that. Alternatively, you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
Yeah, so more on that later. But first, so yesterday on the 12th of November, that was Genetic Counselor Awareness Day. So this is a day that's dedicated to empowering genetic counselors to help raise awareness and interest about the role that they play in our communities and institutions, as well as in our healthcare.
Yeah, so a genetic disorder is a disease caused by a change or mutation in a person's DNA sequence. So genetic disorders can be caused by a mutation in one gene, mutations in multiple genes, or a combination of gene mutations and environmental factors. It can also be caused by damage to the chromosomes. Down syndrome is probably one that you're most familiar with.
Yeah, and there are as many as 6 or 7,000 known genetic disorders. And just a few examples of them are cystic fibrosis, muscular dystrophy, Huntington's disease, and thalassemia. And some of these diseases are caused by mutations that are inherited from the parents, and thus you are born with the condition. Other diseases are caused by acquired genetic mutations during a person's life. So such mutations could either occur randomly or could be due to some environmental exposure. For example, cigarette smoke is something, you know. And these genetic mutations can result in diseases like cancers, as well as some forms of neurofibromatosis.
Yeah, so for some of the more common conditions, it is possible to prevent or detect them early. So this would be useful for people with a family history of conditions that are caused by environmental factors interacting with their inherited genetic information.
Yeah, and in some cases, if it's possible to diagnose the condition early, sometimes even before the symptoms appear, you might be able to get the right treatment for it. And this can make a big difference in reducing complications from the condition, especially for children during the crucial formative months.
Yes, and in some types of cancer that have a genetic component, it may be possible to check whether you and your family members have that specific gene mutation. And from there, you may decide whether you want to take certain measures to detect the cancer early enough to enable treatment to take place. So I think we all remember Angelina Jolie's infamous case. Mm. She had surgery to remove both her breasts, her ovaries, and her fallopian tubes to prevent cancer because she discovered she had the mutation in her BRCA1 gene.
Yeah, and these are all huge life-changing decisions, right, for someone to make. And it can be overwhelming when you first encounter the possibilities. Not only do you have to get a crash course on genetics, but you also have to think about how it will affect your children and future generations.
So this is where genetic counselors come in. They play a very important role because they are there to provide information and to support patients as they make these difficult decisions regarding their genetic condition. So joining us on Zoom today to tell us more about it, we have Yun Suk Yee, the president of the Genetic Counseling Society Malaysia. Hi Suk Yee, thanks for joining us. So let's start with a bit of a 101 on genetic counseling. Could you explain what you do?
Right. A genetic counselor is actually a healthcare professional who is trained to help individuals to understand about their genetic disease or the risk that they or their family members may be facing. So the skills that the genetic counselors have are particularly to conduct the interpretation and to explain complex genetic information so that these individuals can use it and make informed decisions about their medical care. So the role of the genetic counselor is not just only in the provision of information, but we provide a lot of psychosocial and emotional support So because unfortunately, when it comes to genetic conditions, it is sometimes quite scary for the individuals. But not only that, it affects family members as well. You know, and in a country like Malaysia, where our cultural norms and our social norms sometimes give that sort of stigma for genetics and inherited conditions. So as counsellors, we are there to give them the support and the guidance that they need.
And can you describe how you work with a patient throughout their journey from being diagnosed up until the treatment?
Right. So we work very closely with specialists from many fronts. So with the clinical geneticist and with all other sort of the front caregiver in many different specialties. So when there's a suspicion of something that could be of a genetic origin, then the referrals will come to us and we then work closely with their specialist to see what needs to be done from the genetic profiling end. So right from the beginning, we would already be in touch with the patients. We would get all of the family history information that's necessary, look at what the social norms are in the family to see what sort of values that they have and so on. And then the next step, of course, is to consider what is the most appropriate genetic test for them, either for diagnosis or for treatment options planning, and helping them understand what the test would mean for them and for their family members, and to prepare them on what the eventual reports might be. So the decision on whether to actually proceed with tests depends not only on just the need for it, right? But also how a person view things that are inherited, for example. Not everybody wants to know. Not everybody feels that they can deal with that sort of information. And these are things that need to be worked out together with the patients, what their decision-making values are. So that's where we work very closely with the patients. And we are sort of like the conduit between the patients and the specialist, and to make sure that we care for them in that way. So after a result is obtained, and depending what it is, we continue with the guidance to make sure that they understand the implications of the report that is on them or their family members. And then we continuously follow up, supporting them actually emotionally in most sense, because some of the news can be quite devastating for certain individuals, and especially if an invasive procedure needs to be considered. You know, for example, if it's a very severe genetic condition and an expectant mother have to consider having the pregnancy terminated, these are very difficult and emotional times for the patients. So our work with them stretches from right at the beginning for a referral, and you know, it's a continuous follow-up process with them.
But just to be clear, it's not your job to make the decisions for the patients, right? Or to tell them what to do?
No. So we have what we call a very non-directional approach, which sometimes contravenes with some of the clinical approach, you know, which is in Malaysia, I guess sometimes it tends to be more paternalistic. Mm-hmm. But we are there to make sure that they have enough correct information to make their own decision. So whichever decision that they make, they will be comfortable with. So we don't direct them for a particular decision, but help them so that they know what they want and how they can manage the information appropriately.
And so you'd also like to touch a bit on the landscape of genetic counselling in Malaysia and some policy issues around that. So firstly, how many genetic counsellors do we currently have in Malaysia, and where do they work?
Okay, in Malaysia, there are genetic counselling that's available mainly in the government hospital. So there are referral centres that are set up, for example, in Hospital Kuala Lumpur, in UMMC, in HUKM, USM, and Hospital Pulau Pinang. So these are the main referral centres, and these are the clinical genetic services where there are clinical geneticists and genetic counsellors. There are also some in the private sector and also in Cancer Research Malaysia, which is a non-profit Cancer Genetics Research Center. There are also two genetic counselors there. So all in all, there are four overseas trained genetic counselors who have come back to serve in Malaysia, and two are professionally credentialed. Then thanks to the Masters of Genetic Counseling course that was set up by UKM, we now have five graduate genetic counselors. So in total, we have 9 genetic counselors and 14 clinical geneticists to serve our whole population of 33 million, which is quite insufficient. So, I mean, in comparison, if you look at the US, they have more than 5,000 genetic counselors and they have a population of 330 million. So we are quite far behind in terms of being able to provide adequate care. And we are worried because particularly for the B40s category, so they're entirely dependent on the government system, right? And there isn't enough counselors in the government system to serve our population.
And what would you say is the impact of this small ratio on our ability to manage and treat genetic diseases well?
So the genetic information is very important for certain parts of the population. So 5-8% of our population who are affected by rare diseases, that's mostly genetic in origin. And then we have a much larger proportion of individuals in this country who may have an inherited risk to cancer or cardiovascular disease and so on. And all of this should consider having a genetic test. But because we are unable to reach them as much as we can, we're actually not able to manage risk for diseases as appropriately, and we are able to prevent even certain diseases from occurring. So if we had better access for genetic counseling, then there will be better care for all of these groups of individuals who will actually benefit from having their genetic profiles done.
So what then is needed to strengthen genetic counseling in Malaysia?
So there are four areas in particular that needs to be developed for the profession. So the first is awareness about the need of genetic counselling. And this is not just only among the patients or the public, but also in the healthcare sectors itself. Right? So the frontline healthcare providers, you know, the GPs and the other specialists need to have more awareness to refer as and when there is a suspicion of something that may be of a genetic origin, you know, to refer to genetic services when required. So that area in the development of awareness of the need of genetic counselling is important. Secondly, the service models itself. So currently, we are not reaching out enough to our population due to our constraints in the capacity of genetic counsellors that we have. But whilst building capacity, we need to innovate. We need to have more improved model of service for genetic counselling. So we are working very hard to improve telegenetics, telecounselling protocols, but even new models like mainstreaming, which can be applicable for certain disease areas like cancer. So mainstreaming literally means teaching non-genetic specialists like the oncologists or the surgeons to be able to also do some parts of the initial genetic counselling. And in cancer research Malaysia, it's one of our projects that we've carried out, and we've shown that we are able to increase access for patients who need genetic testing in the cancer domain. So development of new service models is in parallel to building capacity is important. So third is the recognition of genetic counsellors in the public service. In Malaysia, there is actually currently no official post in the government hospitals for genetic counsellors because it's not a recognised position in the government clinical pathway. This is, I suppose, quite surprising, you know, having had clinical genetics services for quite a while now in Malaysia. But because of this, this hampers the career pathway. So we are unable to increase the training for more genetic counsellors in a sense because there are not enough posts for them to go into after the training. So it's like a chicken and egg situation. So we need to solve the post issue, as in like, there should be a recognition of genetic counsellors in the public service pathway, and then we can push for more training of more genetic counsellors. And finally, we haven't reached a stage where we are able to have regulation of genetic counselling. Right. So there is no regulatory or credentialing framework in Malaysia for our local counsellors. And this is important because we need to ensure that the service is safely delivered. So there's a lot of power in using genetic information, and it needs to be used appropriately. And genetic information can be misinterpreted or misused. So we need to develop a framework so that there can be registration and regulation of the profession of genetic counsellors in Malaysia. So Genetic Counselling Society of Malaysia is working very closely with the Ministry of Health, particularly through the Allied Health Division, to develop this framework. And this is hoped to be under the Allied Health Profession Act. And we hope that the ministry would help us to expedite this so that we can regulate the service and have a formal registration and credentialing pathway for our counsellors here in Malaysia.
So, Sugi, I'd just like to stay on that point about regulating genetic counselling services. Can you talk about that in the context of commercial genetic tests that are now easily available?
So actually, one of the issues is also because with technology advancement, it is becoming more marketable in a sense because the cost of testing has been reducing. So you see a lot more genetic tests that are flooding the market, and it's sometimes direct to consumer. So you see Facebook ads, you know, of all of these, check your DNA, test your DNA. But therein lies the danger because there's a possibility of inaccurate reports. We're not sure what sort of technology platforms or how the data is actually validated. So the results may not be correct or accurate and can be misinterpreted. And sometimes the psychological and social impact of having a wrong report, because people do make clinical decisions based on some of these reports. So that's something that we have been quite worried about, which is why we are pushing for individuals, don't order a test directly, you know. See a healthcare professional, check with your doctors whether these are appropriate tests to have or whether you should even have it in the first place, you know. And there are a lot more genetic tests, you know, like lifestyle genetic tests, which again, we're not sure on how accurate or whether it's evidence-based. So we are quite worried that people will use this kind of genetic reports in a wrong manner.
So how can the public look for a genetic counsellor?
So the four main clinical genetics services that are in the hospitals that I've listed earlier on, they are open for patients to approach and get an appointment. But if they want to look for genetic counsellors, they can also check in with us from GCSM. It can be found on through our website, the contact numbers, and can actually write in to have your queries regarding locating a genetic counsellor, or you know, if you have a question about a particular geneticist, then we will forward and refer on to the appropriate specialist. Then on top of that, we are also on social media and can also be reached on social media. And this would be the best ways to get more information about the genetic counsellor that's nearest to you.
All right. Thank you for speaking to us, Suki. That was Yun Suki, the president of the Genetic Counselling Society Malaysia. So, you know, you can check out their website at gcsocietymalaysia.org.my, or you can search for GC Society Malaysia on Facebook and Instagram.
Yes. And we've also covered a variety of genetic conditions on our Brain Waves series with Dr. Azalina Ahmad Anwar, who is BFM's favorite neurogeneticist. So you can dig into that archive of podcasts on our website or on our BFM app. Just search for Brain Waves.
That's right. And if you have any thoughts that you'd like to share with us, you can always tweet us at BFM Radio, or you can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899. We're going to go for a quick break, but we're going to leave you with The Kooks and Be Who You Are. Stay tuned to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.